can't tell if the chemistry's good by looking at it. It wasn't clear yesterday. For the last time, the saltwater pool is a chlorine pool.
This is the Talking Pools Podcast with pool pros from every region in the country. If it happens in a pool, you'll hear about it here. Everything from tips and hacks to the latest tricks and trends. Breaking news, we lay it on the line. We tell it like it is because we think you deserve to know. Hey, everybody, this is Rudy Stankiewicz with the Talking Pools podcast, but I did want to talk about how our trade show went. But first, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to us. We appreciate you. Without you guys, we're nothing. This is the podcast for the pool pros. We want it to be about things that you want it to be about. So I'm just going to hit you up right now. If you guys have ideas or anything that you want us to talk about, any questions, send them to talkingpools@gmail.com. Again, that's talkingpools@gmail.com. We'll get them. If we use them on the show, I'll send you out a What the Flock Talking Pools podcast hat. It's a pretty good hat, nicely embroidered. We did have a great time at the show, at the Florida show with the poker run that we did. I was nervous about it. I'm not going to lie. I was afraid we were only going to have like five people do it. But we had probably a little bit greater than 30 attendees participate in the poker run, which I thought was fantastic, especially for the first time that we did it. Everything went off smoothly. Couldn't have asked for it to go better. All of the vendors did a fantastic job handing out the playing cards. We did have our winner, Mr. School. He won the grand prize of $1,000 in cash, and he got himself a trophy. So that went really well. Plus, we got to see a lot of friends from past years and see a lot of new folks for the first time, put names to faces. It's what the shows for me are really all about the people. And speaking of people, I've got a guest for you today, Danilo Bonazza.
What's going on, guys? Pete the Pool Guy, Coachella Valley Pools Daily Dose, tip of the day, tip of the day. Hey, man, hope everybody had a good weekend. It was windy here in the Coachella Valley, man, this weekend, and we're in for a long one, but you know what? We're blessed. We have a job. We have somewhere to go and make money, so I'm happy. I know you're happy. You know, it is what it is. But listen, today's tip, let's talk organizing yourself in regards of when you are scheduling your route throughout the week. So I use, which a lot of you guys know, is the Skimmer app. Download the Skimmer app. The Skimmer app will organize your schedule for the day. You could put your repairs, your shopping list. You could put your service calls. Whenever you visit a pool on the Skimmer app, you click on the address that you're at. You put what you did, filter cleaning, clean baskets, net, brush, whatever you did, you put on there. You put the chemistry, what everything read at, and you also put what chemicals you added. And you have the ability to take a picture of the pool before, after, or any kind of repairs that you do. Skimmer app's really good because at the end of it, it'll sync up and it'll send an email to the client letting them know, hey, your pool was serviced and all the information you entered, they get it there, or whatever you want to customize it to. So they'll get the information letting them know, hey, we were there, we brushed, we netted, and da 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 da, everything we did. And it'll show them a picture of the pool. Now, the picture of the pool, for me, I think it's very important. Why? Because a lot of customers, like it or not, will say, hey, were you here? Hey, I didn't see you. Hey, are you sure you were here? And with the picture, it shows them that you were there. Now, the way you protect yourself is because that Skimmer app doesn't let you upload a picture from your library. You physically have to take a picture right there on the spot for it to capture it. That's good because it lets the customer know, hey, this is a real picture, a picture at the time that I was there and the pool was serviced. So it gets that out of their mind that you weren't there. Maybe you left, wind showed up, got windy, debris fell into the pool, and they're like, where's the pool guy? Pool guy didn't even come. You have proof that you were there. Skimmer, it's a good app. You guys should really look into it. I'm going to put it on my link. That way you guys could download it, check it out. There's YouTube tutorials, all that good stuff. So Skimmer, tip of the day.
Tip of the day brought to you by Coachella Valley Pools of Instagram. Did you know Raypak has a free mobile app called Raymote that allows you to control your pool heater from anywhere 24/7? Their Avia and Crosswind V pool heaters have built-in Wi-Fi capabilities, allowing you to monitor multiple customer units remotely once connected. Through the web dashboard, you can track heater status, service alerts to help dispatch technicians or schedule routes, as well as stay informed with real-time updates. If you're looking to simplify your service experience, help resolve customer problems, and save time, download the Raymote mobile app today or learn more at www.raypak.com/raymote. The Lifesaver Pool FINS Conference, also known as the Fuck Drowning Summit, took place from February 1st to 3rd, 2024, in West Palm Beach, USA. This event brought together pool safety experts, grieving families, and advocates for water safety to collaborate, learn, and drive efforts to prevent drownings. The conference was an opportunity for participants to share knowledge and strategies aimed at enhancing water safety and saving lives.
What a great time I had presenting here at the Lifesaver Fence Fuck Drowning Convention. I met a tremendous amount of wonderful people from all around the country, every one of them with a passion to prevent drowning. This conference, the Lifesaver Fence Fuck Drowning Conference, one of the best educational conferences I've ever attended. If you get the opportunity in the future, come check it out. It's not just about the fence. It's about marketing. It's about safety. It's about new products. Getting the message out there. It's about saving lives.
I'm Eric Lupton, the CEO of Lifesaver Pool Fence, and I have the honor of loving what I do. I really love my job. I've never had a real job, but whatever this is, I love doing. So my favorite part of this is that I get to save kids' lives, which is amazing. Not a lot of people outside of, you know, superheroes and comic books get to save people's lives every day, but I get to. And that's really awesome. And my second favorite part, if I'm not saving lives, I'm changing them for the better. I am giving people access to a way that they can support their family and send their kids to college and send their family on vacation and buy nice homes and do all the things that they wish they could do, make people's dreams come true. So I save lives and I change lives, and that's amazing.
My name is Mike McGahey. I'm the Chief of Staff at Lifesaver Pool Fence.
I get a chance to see people. I get a chance to, you know, have FaceTime with people that a lot of times is usually just a quick email to help them find what they're looking for, or, you know, help them get on Eric's calendar or whatever it might be. That I don't have a lot of chance to talk to them a lot of times. And it helps me have an ear to the ground to know how we're doing. In fact, this year, we had a focus group this morning. We put seven of our dealers in a room with some consultants, and none of us in there to be open and honest and tell them everything about what we can do better. And I'm really interested to see what comes out of that.
Hi, I'm Darlene Haskins, and I am co-owner of Lifesaver Pool Fence of the Triad with William Haskins. In the last 2 days, I would say I'm very impressed with the camera system that just got rolled out, and everything Eric and his team does for us to support us.
My name is Jason Sheffield. I have Lifesaver Pool Fence of the Hill Country in Burney, Texas, so just outside of San Antonio. The last couple days here at the conference, what I got out of it is speaking with other dealers from different parts of the country and finding out things that are working for them that may not work for other dealers across the rest of the country. Different things like that, you know, pricing wise, shipping issues, franchising issues, because there's a lot of talk about people that are franchising versus people that are not franchising. So I'm one that did franchise. So there's discussions about that and trying to work bugs out. New products that were showing us, like the camera eye and your session yesterday, you know, learning about some chemicals and uses and treatments and things like that. And that's interesting to me too. So Yeah, and then just getting to see the guys that we haven't seen all year and getting back together with, you know, seeing how everybody's doing. And
my name is Kira Mitchell. I am Lifesaver Pool Fence's administrative assistant. I am here at the 2024 Lifesaver Conference. I take in their registration. What I got out of this event this year was putting faces to names I've seen. I've communicated with everybody, almost everybody virtually. So it was very nice to finally have names, faces, know people, become friends with a couple of them. So it was nice connecting, making connections.
Yes, Paul DeMello here. I'm with Just Against Children Drowning. I'm the president. I lost my twin boys, Josh and Christian, in a backyard swimming pool. I've been in the swimming pool industry for over 20 years. And just like being able to get with other families that have been through some of the same things I've been through with the loss of my child, or children, I should say. And also some amazing pool fencing guys and girls. And we're out there saving lives.
I've got a guest for you today, Danilo Bonazza.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate you taking time out of your day. I know you're very, very busy. I know you have some new things going on, and I wanted to talk about that. But first, to start, you are a mosaicist, correct?
Yes.
You're one of the top five mosaicists in the pool industry. Is that not correct?
Probably. It's hard for me to judge and to say, but that's what they're saying.
How did you transition from doing art to swimming pools?
Well, let's put it that way. Obviously, many different things, but there's one event mostly that really made me do it. We're talking about the 90s. I was a young artist trying to make my way and doing side jobs as well. Masonry work and, you know, regular tile installations mostly. But I was convinced that there could be something else, that instead of just art pieces that at that time, you know, for museums or for churches or other environments, I believe that there was a new application that was not really explored that much yet. So I was trying to push with architects, designers, some clients in placing mosaics inside their homes. So I was knocking at doors of architects and designers constantly begging for work. But nobody was giving me the chance because, you know, at that time in the 90s, it was considered kind of crazy spending so much money in a bathroom or in a little spa or something like that.
Are you in the U.S. at this time or are you still in Italy?
No, I was still in Europe. I moved to the United States in 2008.
Okay.
So I was based out of Ravenna, which is capital of the world for mosaics. Ancient history, 3,000-year history of Byzantine mosaics.
So back to the 90s, you're banging on doors. People aren't spending a fortune in their bathrooms. So what are we doing?
So we were hoping. And we were, you know, I was still doing, you know, my art pieces and few restorations of some artistic mosaic, ancient mosaics in different museums or the Vatican or at the Louvre in France and so on, but nothing major, nothing different, which is what I really wanted, what I really believed that could happen, until there was this big project for an architect that was kind of like desperate to try to find something new or something different for the client. And everything that he was proposing was not making the client, you know, click.
It wasn't getting him excited.
So then he reached out to me and he asked me, like, okay, can you do something different for me in the swimming pool of this hotel? At that time was called the Royal Palace Hotel in Stade, Switzerland. Then it changed properties and names many times, but, so then I came up with the idea of creating a mosaic in the big swimming pool. So I sat down with the architect, the client and his wife, and nobody could figure out what they wanted until I asked the client's wife what she liked. And she told me, I love flowers. I was like, okay, I can fill up that pool with roses and, and, and lilies and whatever you want. So they loved the idea. So I created it. The problem, the biggest challenge for me at that time was not creating the mosaic, but was really figuring out what to do with the mosaic in an underwater environment.
Rudy and Andrea will be right back with more Flock It Fridays after these messages.
Jack's Magic Products is your industry leader in identifying, removing, and preventing stains. How? With a range of high-performance, eco-friendly products, keeping pools safe, clean, and ready to use all year round. The Jack's Magic 3-step program is a quick and effective way to remove stains and scaling. First, we identify the problem, then our top-quality products will remove the discoloration. Finally, our preventative solutions will keep your pool looking like new for much longer. Get helpful tips and check out our product catalog today at jacksmagic.com.
AquaStar's new pipeline cartridge filters, available in two sizes, deliver top-notch hydraulic efficiency along with best-in-class filtration performance, approaching that of DE filters. Uniquely designed open pleat spacing means 100% of the media square footage is usable, and these claims are backed by NSF test results. Designed with a pro's time and comfort in mind, the patented double locking system improves safety and ease of access, making filter cleanings faster than ever before. Available now. Ask your supplier for pipeline filters today.
Blu-ray XL is the power of minerals working for you. Reduce your overall chemical costs and labor up to 50% guaranteed. Whether you have 20 accounts or 20,000, Blu-ray XL's direct pricing and free shipping to the pool trade have you covered. Improving pool professionals' profit and work-life balance is what they do. Blu-ray XL, the real mineral purifier. Visit them at BluRayXL.com.
Blu-ray all day.
Are you struggling with maintaining clean and clear pool water and staying compliant with local agencies? Not to mention keeping up on your chemical supply and the time needed to care for your on-site water. Stop the struggle. The Leslie's Pro Commercial Team offers your business a one-touch national solution for healthy, clean, and safe water. Our trusted advisors partner with your group to learn your business and provide consultative services to take care of your water needs. If your team is discussing guest safety, labor challenges, consistency in supply and cost, or education on water care, then connect with us today. Learn more about Leslie's Pro and commercial benefits by emailing commercial@lesl.com. Again, that is commercial@lesl.com. Or click the link in the podcast notes of this episode.
Pool Magazine is the hottest new publication for the pool and spa industry. Featuring up-to-the-minute news on what's happening in the pool world in a fresh new stylized format with our mobile-friendly app. Pool Magazine is the app for keeping your fingers on the pulse of the pool industry. You'll find featured news, editorials, podcasts, videos, and more on the Pool Magazine app. Download on Google Play and the App Store.
Problem, the biggest challenge for me at that time was not creating the mosaic, but was really figuring out what to do with the mosaic in an underwater environment. So it took months for me to figure out how, you know, doing billions of tests, figuring out the right materials to use, especially for the preparation of the substrate and especially for the waterproofing.
Did you start working with somebody to figure this out? Did you contact some existing tile?
No, because I tried, but nobody really knew. And nobody was giving me an answer that was actually satisfactory to me. So I started reading books. Obviously, we're talking about the 90s, so there was nothing to find on the internet.
There wasn't much of an internet. It's true.
Yeah, so I was reading books about waterproofing and tried different materials that could work on cement, but at the same time, working with cementitious thin sets at that time, and you know, with the mosaics, and after experiment and just time, I kind of like started creating my own system.
Okay.
And which I obviously developed even further and transformed over the years, but at that time was satisfactory enough that I accepted the challenge and I made it happen, and the result was you know, made the clients and the architect very happy. And I really love the idea of creating something that then the client not only was happy of at looking at it, but he was also using it, and his clients were using it in the hotel. So I found very much joyful thinking about it. And, you know, I really love the idea of creating mosaics for pools, because the fact that people actually enjoy my art piece after it's done and not just looking at it, but they, you know, they have parties, they have people over.
They're swimming in your art.
They're swimming in it. They're having fun with it. That really brings me joy. So that's why then I start.
They dive right into your works of art, literally.
Exactly. I love that idea.
How many times did you fail before you got the formula correct?
I can't really say fail.
A dozen. No,
because I had some, you know, little detachment here and there, but it's not that the whole piece fell apart. So I don't think we can call it a failure. But obviously, over the years, I a few times here and there, due to many different factors, I had few little ties. Also, think about that, you know, a swimming pool in mosaics means hundreds of thousands of pieces, right? So If in 250,000 pieces, there's like three that detached, I don't think we can call it a failure.
I agree with you. That's not a failure. In fact, for most companies that put tile in, three just coming off is a success.
Yeah, exactly. So it happened a few times. Also, over time, I found out that different environments require different strategies. Especially when I started doing projects in Saudi Arabia, where, you know, obviously, the temperature reaches very, very high points during the day. Very high temperature, 140, 150 sometimes.
How the heck do you end up getting a job in Saudi Arabia to do tile in a swimming pool? How does that come about?
Well, again, architects, architects that I did projects for in France. Then they also had projects in different other countries. And so then after they had very successful projects with me, then they wanted to do something over there as well. And obviously the Arabs love gold and love mosaic. So it was easy to convince them to do something like that. I did a lot of projects in Dubai, and all those countries, Lebanon, Abu Dhabi, many of the Doha.
These architects are going around from job to job and they're saying, hey, we're not doing it unless we get Danilo.
Yeah. And also, it's the same concept that happened to me when I ended up in the United States. I never thought about moving to the United States or having, you know, I never looked for a project here. But then after so many years of projects everywhere, one of the architects asked me to do big projects in the United States. So I came over here and then I ended up living.
Las Vegas, correct?
No, New York.
New York. Okay.
It was New York. New York City. Las Vegas was afterwards. It was 2 years, a year and a half after.
You come to New York. You realize that it's just like everybody says it is. There's yellow taxis driving up and down the street. People walk really fast on the sidewalk. It's really crowded. And that made you decide that you wanted to live in the United States?
Nope. Nope. I never thought about it. I wanted to go back. The problem is the project was huge.
Okay.
So I ended up staying pretty much almost a year. And as a good Italian, so much time in a place, you start looking for women. And I ended up meeting the best woman in the world, who ended up being my wife.
Congratulations.
And that's what made me move. I was lucky enough to meet the love of my life, and then I decided to jump. I thought in my mind that it would have been easier for me to jump, since I'm not scared of anything, than for her, you know, changing culture and all that stuff. So I decided to do the jump.
You moved for a girl.
Yes.
And it was a good decision.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Does New York have good Italian food?
Yeah, especially the one that I cook.
did they have it before you got there?
Yes. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I can't complain about food. Obviously, not every place. There's a lot of fake Italian food, but there's also some good ones. So, yeah, you shouldn't complain.
Manhattan is one of my favorite places to go, and I do frequent Italian restaurants, and I just wanted your opinion, having come over and spent a year there.
Yeah.
So you decide to move to New York. It's about the girl. Now you start working here. And yes. In that time.
Well, not right away. It took a while to figure out, you know, all the documents and everything else. I shut down my company in Italy, and then it took pretty much a year and something to be able to open it in the United States, you know, for document purposes. So I was not really working that much because I couldn't do it. Then finally, all the papers were ready. I was not married at that time yet. Got all my documents straight. Hired, you know, a couple of lawyers. Got screwed a couple of times in paying lawyers, a high price, and then got nothing. And then I finally was able to get everything together. And then I opened up my company in almost 2009 in the United States.
How'd you feel about closing the one in Italy?
It was,
That was your first baby.
I had a moment that I was like, what the hell am I doing? And then I was like, you know what? Let's do it. Let's do it. I believe that, you know, it was not easy, obviously, money-wise and everything else.
I can't imagine.
I had 13 people working for me at that time, so I let them all go. But to feel good, I gave them a bunch of projects and architects and designers collaborating with them so that they could just, you know, keep going with what became their companies. And then I started from scratch, but I was like, you know what? I really believe that was my shot. Never thought about marrying an American girl for sure. Never thought about getting married, to be honest with you. But you know what? Love strikes you. And it was probably one of the best, if not the best decision of my life. We're still very much in love, and I'm the luckiest man in the world. Well, that's how.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So you move here, you finish the project in New York, yep. You move here. I'm going to assume that takes a little bit of time. Then more than a year before you can start to do business.
Yep.
So how long did it take after you opened up the doors to your new career in the United States before you got that first job?
Oh, to be honest, nothing. I was able to get right away. It was not probably at the beginning, not the projects that I wanted. Were something very easy and small and not really, you know, profitable or almost nothing. So it took a little bit to start getting the kind of projects that I wanted.
Was that Vegas a year and a half later? Was that the first job you had that you were like, yes?
No, I had something a little before that.
Okay.
A few things a little before that. And also once I had all my papers straight, I could travel. So the first big projects were overseas. So I was just traveling with my wife and doing projects for some of my older designers or collaborators. But then obviously the Vegas projects opened up other doors and other, you know, other connections that I start developing for new projects and new ventures.
Now, all this while, you're still doing art, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Not as much, obviously, but still doing something. Yeah.
Okay. And what was your first big commission job for the art side once you opened the doors in the U.S.?
The first one. Well, I did a project in the islands of Seychelles, but it was from an architect here in the United States. So it was not in the U.S. territory, but it was commissioned in the United States. Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have money flowing in both ways.
Yeah.
Pools are more lucrative for you?
On a general basis, yes, because usually they're bigger projects and longer. But if we're talking about per square footage, the art pieces are definitely.
But you're doing a lot more pools than you do art pieces, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And just to put this into perspective for folks, these are not $40,000 jobs. You're talking $100,000, $200,000 jobs, correct?
Minimum, yeah.
Okay. So that's our starting point. You're dealing with, you said, how many pieces in an average size or, I don't know, a hotel size pool? I know you've done some big ones. It's kind of hard to say what's an average size, but you've done over 100,000 pieces, yeah?
Yeah. Let's put it that way. The average pool is about 1,200 square feet.
Okay.
Something like that. So on average per square foot, we are talking about 250 pieces. So times 1,200 square feet in a swimming pool comes up, 300,000 pieces, 250,000 pieces.
Without ripping out a calculator, I'm going to agree with you on that.
Yeah, something like that. And again, depending on the size of each tesser, which is the technical name for the tile that is in a mosaic, obviously we're talking about the range of the kind of mosaics that I use goes from 3/8 of an inch each one, mm-hmm, up to 1 inch. So obviously, you know, it varies a lot in a square foot depending on the size of each tile.
Who's your customer?
A very rich person. Very rich person who likes to have something custom made, unique. And so he wants to make sure that his swimming pool does not look like his neighbor's swimming pool. So we can create something different and unique. I sign a lot of NDA agreements because some of my clients, they want to make sure that I don't, you know, replicate what I did for them, because they like the uniqueness of their projects. It's one of the reasons why they pay premium money to have something different, custom made just for them.
Now, I've seen some of the art that you've done as well. Is it fair to say that you, mm-hmm, have a crush on Marilyn Monroe?
No, I don't know if we can put it that way, but I think she's an icon for so many.
Doesn't everybody have a crush on Marilyn Monroe?
Welcome, Andrea.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi. Sorry, I was late.
I don't know. I mean, I think she's definitely a unique character and an icon, you know, in Hollywood. She recreated, reinvented probably, the female character in movies. Mm-hmm. So she's definitely a powerful figure.
She is well loved and very well recognized. That is for sure.
Yeah.
So you know what? I wouldn't fault you one bit, because as Andrea said, who doesn't? At least a little bit. So let me ask you, you said you signed a lot of NDAs.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they were all NDAs.
No.
Can you drop some names here?
Putin, Trump.
Not at the same time, right?
I'm trying to think about, you know,
LOL,
who I have the NDA and who I don't have. I don't want to, you know, throw a name that I can't.
If you throw out Soros one by accident, just call me and let me know this is coming out in 3 weeks.
Soros, Jennifer Lopez,
more crush-worthy people.
And then
you have a crush on George Soros?
No.
Can you tell us what you did for J-Lo?
Tune in next Friday with Rudy and Andrea for the conclusion to the Mosaicist episode with the guy who did some tile pieces in both the Vatican and the Louvre, Mr. Danilo Bonazza.
I
just wanted to take a minute to say thank you for listening today. I'm hoping you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together for you. Listen, it's been a couple of wacky, crazy, screwed up years from pandemic to Poolmageddon. I just want you to know that we are all in this together. If there's anything that we can do for you, send me an email at talkingpools@gmail.com. Again, that's talkingpools@gmail.com. We're here. This is your podcast. We are the Pool People's Podcast, of the pool people, for the pool people, by the Pool People's Podcast. This one is about you. So thank you for tuning in and listening. Do me a favor, click subscribe before you go. That way you don't miss an episode.